small,
کوچک,
smaller,
کوچکتر,
smallest,
کوچکترین.
Six Blurs to Persia.
Good morning and welcome back to another Six Pillars to Persia with me, Farry Bradley. After an exhausting week at the Frieze Art Fair, I took myself down this morning for another injection of art, and actually it was very refreshing. I went to the Art Associates Gallery. They've rented the art space, which is in Maddox Street, just off Regent Street. And they are showing, they were originally showing 140 pieces of work that they'd bought from Iran. And they've sold half of them within a week, which just goes to show how singular the piece is that they've put on there. And hopefully that will carry on. If anyone has been following the trail of discussions and interviews during these four shows, they would have heard me speaking to Afrin Efbal. I met her at Palavar Gallery, and she took part in the Art Associates showing, which is all about memories and images from Iran. So I have that interview for you today. And also, thanks to the Planet Smashers. Thanks to the Planet Smashers, who have agreed for us to podcast their piece. It's called The Scar of Iran, and they have a few singles out at the moment. They're featuring on a compilation called Scar is Dead, and here is Scar of Iran.
Upset or unbelievably mad, you'll get a big lift when you're talking with the depressed Persian tow truck man.
From 6 in the morning to 12 at night, I work all night towing cars, always. In my home country, I was the governor of Khmelal. Now I drive all night, always, and I pick up a-holes. Always a-holes, all day, from 6 in the morning to 12 at night, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, always. No overtime, minimum, nothing, always, always.
So I'm speaking to the director of 12 Plus One Art Associates in the Art Space Gallery in West One. And we're looking at various works from Iranian artists brought from Iran. Please tell us your name and how the exhibition has been going.
Hi, my name is Murad Saghafi. The exhibition started a week ago. We had a preview night on Tuesday. And lots of people came in the Iranian community here, of course, but lots of English and other nationality came to see the paintings. There was people here from Sotheby's, from Christie's, and also from British Museum, who got interested to some of the paintings. We were four of us taking care of the show from Iran. And we are happy. I mean, from 140 paintings that we brought from Iran, actually half of them were sold after a week. So, and we have two more weeks coming. So please, if you want to have a good Iranian painting, just hurry up.
But so, how did you attract people like Christie's and Sotheby's when they're collectors, say, of maybe antiques and so on? What made them come? I mean, I can understand from British Museum because of the Persia exhibition recently, or last year, which must have made them feel, you know, very close to this community. Where in Sotheby's and Christie's is the connection?
Actually, Christie's started to be interested in Iranian contemporary and modern art more than a year ago, and had a auction in Dubai for the first time. It was a year ago. They included the contemporary and modern Iranian art to their collection of Indian and Middle Eastern art. The result was very good. They've done it again a few months later, and Sotheby's came to the market too this year. As you may know, Sotheby's has an auction of Indian, Islamic, and Iranian art. I believe 24th of October. So they got interested to the contemporary Iranian art as they were interested, let's say, a few years ago to the Chinese art. So they saw this merging paintings, contemporary paintings coming up in Iran, and they show lots of interest.
It'd be interesting to see what prices the pieces go for from them afterwards. Would you be interested to see?
The Sotheby's or Christie's prices in their auction? Yeah, but the prices in auction are important, but it's only one sign of the price of a painting, especially when you talk about young people and emerging artists. Actually, normally in an auction, if a painting got interest, could go two, three times the prices you bought in a gallery. This is also the role of the auctions. I mean, giving authority to one painter, giving international importance to one painter, and putting him in an international market. Actually, galleries goes find good paintings, and then if they succeed to have good painters, they may reach this level of international auctions. But each one has its own role.
So tell me a bit about the selection process. I know from your colleague that most of the painters are under 20, and that was your criteria. Were you in Iran when you chose these paintings? How did it all come about?
Actually, under 30s, no, not 20s. I've realized I'm new myself in paintings area. I'm more on written press and publishing. A few years ago, I realized that the new paintings is coming up in Iran. Actually, Iran has a very good and well-known internationally modern art, which are sold in Christie's and Sotheby's, as I said. But there is also a new generation of painters coming that in my sense, they have turned more to contemporary than modern. You know, the paintings you see are scenes of Iran's life, are scenes of Iranian history, but not the very ancient one, the very near one. I mean, the subject are, and even some subjects chosen from our our heritage, for example, from Shahnameh, this is the Book of the King, painted with much more contemporary way of painting. You see that looks like Omid Ibrahim and others. This was the point that I started thinking to take them outside Iran to see that the Iranian contemporary painting is born in my sense.
Can you tell me a bit about some of the paintings? Because obviously I've grown up here, I might not understand all the references. What's this one here with all the generals?
This one is a cabinet. It's a cabinet of in 1962, 1963. But the actual photo is in black and white, and the painters give freedom to himself to put color on it and to shape it again with background, with colors in the background, which are not normally used in cabinet photography. You know, I'm not saying it's a satire, but it's the freedom this generation gives to himself to kind of play with history and make an old, not very old, but the past history its own. Here you see, for example, two paintings about cars. The upper one shows a car crash parking, and but the cars are, one of them is Peikan. This was the first Iranian built car. Actually, that was with the help of English. The old Hillman was rebuilt in Iran, and you can see the deux chevaux. And also
I'm laughing because our first car when we came to England was a Hillman.
Yeah, this is it. So it's also a more than car. Hillman and deux chevaux and the other Volkswagen are kind of a generation, maybe my generation, when I was born in 1957, and that's the time for the first time Peikan came in. Let's say it's part of Iranian history. It's not only cars or a parking, but it's also a generation that wanted, let's say, to become modern, to build cars, and then lots of things happened to this last end of 20th century Iran. And if you look at them closely, you may find that they are not car anymore. They are more than car. They are scenes of history, but also they are people. You know, you can look at their eyes and also the, as we say, plaxinialetic, I don't know.
Number plate.
The number plate, and you can see here two Peugeot, the old Peugeots, but one of them has a number plate, one not, you know.
This one looks grumpy.
Yeah, exactly. So you can see eyes. So this is what interested me. This is the.
They're well placed as well, these two paintings, because it's kind of nostalgia for the 60s and 50s there.
Yeah, but I believe it's more than nostalgia. It's not reinventing history, but rewriting it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's. I'm not saying that it's sad. You know, this is what is important in this new generation. Even if it has to go through different challenges in Iran, but it's not a sad generation. It's a generation that try to understand its history, its own history, its own contemporary history, rewritten it, revise it, and go further. And this is what is very important. That Iranian young generation, despite that they have more challenges than maybe we had, my generation had, they are more active and they are more vivid.
This is one I really love, is the three ladies marching together or walking to school, maybe holding hands, and their eyes are missing, and it's a detail of their middle torso.
Yes, this is actually the one I've chosen for the cover of the catalog. This is my preferred too. But here again, this is they have a school uniform, and as they have to wear a scarf, this is a scene you see in Iran every day. But at the same time, what I like in this painting is that despite, let's say, that they have to be covered, you can see that they are happy, kind of happy. They walked, supporting each other, walking together, and even you can see the shape of the bodies, even if it's covered, and they are beautiful. They are young people living in their situation, and they find their way to live it as you live in Middle Eastern country with hope, with fun, with sympathy, solidarity, and this is I believe why you do like it too. Even if you were not in Iran, you can see an Iranian society scene here, which is a detail, but a detail that is lively.
I think it definitely merits coming down to see these face to face, because the paintings have a lot of subtleties, and that's something I'm beginning to see a lot in Iranian art, which is very enjoyable.
Thank you. No, I think it would be great they come. We've published a catalog on which they can see all the other paintings that are sold and gone out from the gallery, so they can appreciate the whole collection themselves.
This is also recent. I mean, apart from Parivar and yourselves, I haven't seen much art coming out of Iran in groups like this. And it's the voice of the people that we don't hear. It's beyond the media, it's beyond the press, it's the actual people communicating with us. The more contemplative people, I think, who communicate with imagery and so on.
Exactly. I mean, the problem with media is that they always show something... That something bad should happen, or something, and also too much political. While the society is living at any time and have its own beliefs, have its own way of life, and not everything is political in Iran. Not everything is political nowhere. But of course, media's have to bear with what they call the most important information. But it's rare that you can see 30 young and less young. I mean, they have between 22 and 42. So this is rare that you can see how artists think in Iran, how artists paint in Iran or in other countries. I mean. And this is actually one of the aim of the show also to bring something that is more sensitive, is more grassroots, right, let's say, and it's much more maybe near to the people than the big play of politics and things like this.
One thing that really surprised me about the people, and also when I lived in India, I noticed people were telling me that although they admired the freedom in the West, they were cautious and not very happy about the kind of licentiousness, the level of licentiousness our society has reached. And therefore, young people were saying, oh, actually, you know, I like my country. I'd like to marry someone from my own country because those values are something that I still value myself. Even though I'm wearing my trainers and I'm drinking, you know, Coca-Cola and all this stuff, I don't want to go that far. And I think this piece, like the Roxander, one of the Roxander brothers was showing at Parivar, kind of celebrates the kind of circus and the garish colours of the West, the liberty, but the dead fish for me sort of symbolises how things are slightly rotten, slightly, you know, there's kind of something, not scary, but nightmarish about that.
Yep. The good of the painting is that you can have a good painting gives you the possibility to have different lecture of it. Mm-hmm. For me, this is kind of criticizing the power, an elephant in a room, mm-hmm. and a big fish in a room, and nothing to have there, you know, and they are not important. They're the only, and you can also see the Mughal chief over there as a poupée russe. What is important, or the old man with as a stick, you know? But what is important in all those? The only thing that is should be there are the flowers, the balloon, and the woman. So that when the power is too big, take the place, take everywhere, but is useless. You know, this is for me. It's a critique of power, but of course you can read it. But the fun is that it's, I mean, this critique of power is done through fun colors, bright red on red, and a beautiful, maybe
her bottom is very
but it's there. I mean, the only thing that should be there are the balloons, which are near to this heavyweight elephant, shows that the power is big, but it's not important, you know. The balloons are more important, and the flower and the woman. This is what makes love.
Do you think the head on the stick symbolizes the people who have the power?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, old people waiting, looking. I mean, rigid one, but how they are useless, you know. Here they are useless, and the woman can control easily the elephant and the fish. The big fish is less important than the colored balloon.
What's the name of this painting?
There is no name, untitled, but the painter is Ramtin Azad. Actually, he's 23.
Okay. It's great.
Thank you.
Can we just talk about another one, which is over here? It's a set of three paintings.
Yeah.
With ladies in chador, mm-hmm. But instead of their eyes is a rectangle of mirror. Mm-hmm. Did it leave the country like this, or did the mirror get on added on afterwards?
No. It could be. I mean, you can see an Iranian woman with chador. Actually, it's not a black chador. This one is the intern chador. This is, but this Samira Ali Khanzadeh is always working with shadows. You can see on the other paintings on the wall that the woman and their shadows, you don't know which one is more important, or the woman is coming out from the shadow, or a woman is becoming a shadow. But beautifully colored with red. And also she uses very often the mirror. The concept is to make the one who look at the painting participate in the painting and make the painting's own. If you go near to the painting, you can see yourself on this mirror and kind of participating, become yours. You know, it's more an artistic trick than a political or social trick. She always wants other people to participate very actively to her paintings. She uses very often mirror.
Well, as soon as I saw it, I mean, it's something that's discussed a lot by modern society, and it's in the press, is what should women cover their hair when they're, you know, in our society where we identify people through their faces. So should a woman cover herself? So as soon as I saw it, I thought, wow, I'm going to put my eyes there in the painting and see what it looks like.
Exactly. No, this is it. But there is a debate in the society about this, and actually, I believe after 50 years of experience in both sides, because in the beginning of modern Iran, when the Pahlavi dynasty took the power, they after 10 years of power, they banned the chador. Actually, nobody could have chador. And the reverse came back after the Iranian Revolution. So I believe that after this exaggerating in both sides, Iranian society will soon admit that the freedom is a good thing. That then everyone, if someone wants to have chador, it's free to have it, and if someone doesn't, it's also should be free to choose other things than chador.
And finally, if you still have the energy, can we talk about this piece over here with the two birds?
Yes,
because I've seen a lot of symbolism, like the parrots. It's quite common in Iranian painting.
Yes, the parrots and the flowers are part of the Iranian art. But this this painting is this kind of coloring is normally what we call it illumination. It's used on around the religious texts or very important poetry texts. Here, the painter used the same illumination over the body of a human being. So it's kind of saying that the human body, the individuality, the persons, the human being is kind of sacred, not only books and poetry. And of course, I mean, you can always talk about a painting, but I believe you have to see it. Also, the painting should be beautiful. Also, I mean, this is the role of the painting.
What's the background? It's cement colored.
This is cement and glue on canvas.
And also the nightingale. It always is it a nightingale?
Yeah, maybe.
It always makes me think of someone trapped with beautiful voice, something, you know,
beautiful
that's unspoken.
Voice. And also there is an exchange between the two. I mean, you see the nightingale's shadow over there, and then she or he has given his nightingale to the other. It's also an exchange between human that makes the art possible.
Kind of what's happening here, isn't it? We're exchanging our views, you know, we are participating in the Iranian art scene and hearing from them. And apart from the, as you mentioned with Omid, the heritage and then this kind of 1960s nostalgia, what other issues have been brought to our eyes by your exhibition?
We had also some people working on inner places, what happened in inner places in Iran. You have Farid Jahangir upstairs that paint always the its in internal life, very beauty with very beautiful color. We're using very very much the light, and giving this idea that also painting is also could be a very very private and personal things that you share with someone else. You it's not always a question of talking about society and history. It could be also painting is a painting, art is art, and the result could be very very beautiful, or some other people that create. They maybe don't like the scenes that they see in Iran, and they think that paintings should be in the interrelation with the society. If the society has bad sides or not beautiful sides, they should be seen too. It's I told you this is the concept here is contemporary and also collected memories. You know, there are memories of Iran. You know, this is it.
Finally, Murad, thanks for all this. What would you say would be your favorite symbol in Persian heritage in painting?
Oh, I don't know. I like them to be multiple, yeah. Not one.
Oh, yeah, because you worked in texts.
Yeah.
So what would then be your favorite text that you've seen it illuminated?
Which I didn't understand the question.
From your experience with printed text, and you were talking about the illumination around text, what have you seen in your career that you would recommend to us, like the best thing you've seen with text?
The text, Iranian text? Oh, I like very much Iranian old poetry, but not very old. I mean, the one that has, the Saadi, Hafez, those are my favorite poets, but this is a very, very personal thing. I mean, but in painting, I really much like contemporary art. More than modern or the traditional.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So that was Murad talking from Art Associates to us today with the exhibition for about 30 young Iranian artists straight from Iran. That was Six Pillars to Persia with Farid Bradley. We'll see you next week.